Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 43928 through 43972 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There were no letters of protest for today's sale, and no tracts will be recommended to be withdrawn from today's sale, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43928 or 43929. We did receive one bid on tract 43930, advertised as 403 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 134 acres. The bidder is SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. SR Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $33,500. $33,500, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $16,750. $16,750. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43931, 32, or 33. We did receive one bid on tract 43934, advertised as 196.2 acres. And this bid is for a portion containing 95.47 acres. 95.47 acres. The bidder is Pennington Oil and Gas Interests, LLC. Pennington Oil and Gas Interests, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $24,822.20. $24,822.20. Or a per acre value of $260. Annual rentals are $12,411.10. $12,411.10. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43935, 36, or 37. We did receive two bids, contract 43938, advertises 2,439 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 912 acres. 912 acres. The bidder is Hellas Oil and Gas Company, LLC. Hellas Oil and Gas Company, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $276,336. $276,336, or a per acre value of $303. Annual rentals are $138,168. $138,168. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on track 43938 is for a portion containing 513.03 acres. 513.03 acres. The bidder is Caddo Management Inc. Caddo Management Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $115,431.75. $115,431.75, or a per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $57,715.88. $57,715.88. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43939, 40, 41, 42, or 43. We did receive two bids on tracks 43944, advertised as 243 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Crew Energy LLC. Crew Energy LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $53,460. $53,460, or a per acre value of $220. Annual rentals are $26,730. $26,730. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on track 43944 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Jill Exploration Inc. Jill Exploration Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $85,050. $85,050, or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $42,525. $42,525. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43946 or 47. We did receive one bid on tracks 43948, advertised as 161 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Allen and Kernsey Limited. Allen and Kernsey Limited. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $44,436. $44,436, or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $22,218. $22,218. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on tracks 43949, advertised as 40.74 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $11,203.50. $11,203.50, or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $5,601.75. $5,601.75. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on tract 43950, advertised as 13 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Louisiana Onshore Properties, LLC. Louisiana Onshore Properties, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,644.38. $4,644.38, or a per acre value of $357.26. Annual rentals are $2,322.19. $2,322.19. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on tract 43951, advertised as 2 acres, and the bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Louisiana Onshore Properties, LLC. Louisiana Onshore Properties, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $714.52. $714.52, or a per acre value of $357.26. Annual rentals are $357.26. $357.26. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43952 through 43956. We did receive one bid on track 43957, advertised as 1,876.25 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Energy Resource Technology, GOM, LLC. Energy Resource Technology, GOM, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $656,687.50. $656,687.50, or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $328,343.75. $328,343.75. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43958 through 43971. We did receive one bid on track 43972, advertised as 4.28 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 1.709 acres. 1.709 acres. The bidder is Radiant Acquisitions 1, LLC. Radiant Acquisitions 1, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,000. $1,000. Or a per-acre value of $585.14. Annual rentals are $500. $500. Royalties are 25%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting, and a committee meeting should start around 9:30. Thank you.
Morning. A roll call, Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Briette. Mr. Shute.
Here.
Mr. Cordero. Mr. Lambert. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders. Mr. Klein.
Here.
Mr. Height.
Here.
We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. I designate Mr. Talbert and Mr. Bradbury to present the agenda. Thank you.
Chairman Smith, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,786 active leases covering nearly 749,000 acres. GE staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 152 leases covering approximately 53,000 acres. Of the 152, there are four leases within three fields to discuss in more detail today. You'll notice the first two items are portions of State Lease 340 at Belle Isle. The first selection is a sublease portion of State Lease 340, and the second selection is the reassigned acreage. Essentially, the wording used by the staff is identical with the exception of ownership and the amount of acreage. Therefore, I'm only going to read the portion of the first selection. State Lease 340B, selection Belle Isle Field, Apache Corporation, Castex Energy, or the lessees. The staff is bringing this selection of State Lease 340 to be included in this lease review committee agenda today. It is a desire of the staff to put this selection on a drill or drop schedule effective the date of this meeting. The goal of the schedule is to get acres developed by the drilling of new wells. Otherwise, acreage should be released. If no new wells are drilled during the schedule, it is anticipated to have all 3,862 acres released by June 1st, 2017. The particulars of the schedule are outlined in your agenda packet. And again, I'm not going to reread what I just read for the reassigned acreage. The difference being ownership for this portion of reassigned acreage is LeBay Exploration Company, and the acreage is 1,720 acres. And we hope and anticipate that this amount of acreage would also be released by June 1st, 2017. That is, if no wells are drilled. Are there any questions? Moving on to State Lease 1217, Beta Sheen. Swift Energy operating as our lessee. Committee wise reviewed this lease on November 13, 2013. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Swift's report, and they provide a status update on development activities on this lease by May 14, 2014. The staff is recommending today to defer this lease to the next board meeting. State Lease 2620, Lake Pelto Field, Apache Corporation, and Castex Energy Partners are our lessees. Committee last reviewed this lease on November 13, 2013. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Apache's report, and they provide a status update on development activities on this lease by May 14, 2014. By letter dated June 2, 2014, Apache reported that they had conducted workover activities on several wells, including replacing tubing in one well and removing paraffin in another well. The net result was increased production to the lease. Other workovers proved to be unsuccessful. Apache continues working on refining two drill locations on affecting the lease. The staff recommends accepting Apache's report on this lease, and that Apache drill one of their two locations by the second quarter of 2015 or release a portion of the undeveloped acreage. Are there any questions?
Jason, yes. Was that 2015 or 2014?
It should have been 2015. Did I say 2014?
You said okay. 2015. I just...
Okay. Yes. One other item is the... we did issue to Clear Valley Oil Company a 29E waiver letter for them to produce the state lease on 5567 number 2 well in West Lake Contra Training Field. And we had no items on force majeure report, and that concludes the lease review committee.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the board? Are there any public comment at this time? I need a motion and a second to accept and approve all reports, reviews, and recommendations by the staff.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Lambert. A second by Mr. Briette. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. I have a motion from Mr. Lambert, a second from Mr. Schutz. The lease review committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
All right, this time I'd like to call the nomination and track committee agenda to order. I'd like to appoint Mr. Emil Fontenot as our designee to present the agenda items.
Do we need a roll call?
Let me see. My list. Roll call. Mr. Arnold is not here. Mr. Briette?
Here.
Secretary Schutz? Mr. Cadero? Mr. Lambert? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
And Mr. Hike is here. He's just in the back. We have a quorum, so we can continue. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Segura. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Segura, I'd like to request to add an addendum to today's agenda, adding a letter of protest pertaining to track 43944.
Okay. Do we need to have a motion to add that letter? Okay. Do you have a motion from any of the board members to add the letter as stated by Mr. Fontenot? Moved by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Briette. Any questions? Any discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Items
we'll start with the regular agenda, then we'll take the agenda item.
Okay.
A previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 45 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the June 12, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 79 nominations for price processing and advertisement. 36 nominations received by the Office of Mineral Resources for the August 13, 2014 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the August 14, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 58 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the August 13, 2014 lease sale.
motion?
Yeah, do we have a motion?
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
We have moved. We have a motion by Secretary Schutz, second by Mr. Bruyette. Any discussion or questions? All in favor? Oh, any public comment? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
And the final item is the addendum item. It's a letter of protest by Grant and Barrow, a professional law firm pertaining to Tract 439-404, situated in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. Their concern is the boundary to Section 16 school board lands. Our advertisement states that the beds and bottoms of all water bodies, less than except Jefferson Parish School Board lands situated in Section 16, Township 18 South, Range 23 East. This tract was advertised properly and was to be left up for today's lease sale. This is advisory only and no action is needed.
All right. Any other business?
No, sir.
None? Any other questions or discussion from the board? Public comment? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the nomination track committee. Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Ms. Bruyette. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Nomination and track committee is closed. The next committee is the audit committee. And I'll take a roll for that. I'm here. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Bruyette.
Here.
Secretary Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Cadero. Mr. Lambert. Mr. Morton. Mr. Sanders. Mr. Smith. Mr. Klein. And Mr. Height. All right, we have a quorum. I appoint Ms. Rachel Newman to present the information to us.
Thank you. Item number one on the audit agenda is an update on Poitras Energy Partners, LLC, for outstanding oil royalties for the months of January and February 2014. Staff is continuing to work closely with Poitras regarding royalty reporting and payments. Effective March 2014, Poitras no longer is a payer, and properties previously paid on have been assumed by a different payer. That payer is reporting timely and properly. Still outstanding are royalty payments for Poitras for the months of January and February 2014. Payments received since commencement of our discussions with Poitras now total $738,704.90. The balance remaining for the 2 months is $110,858.26. Poitras' attorney has informed the Attorney General's office that the final payment will be remitted no later than June 23, 2014. We anticipate this payment deadline to be honored. If not, Poitras Energy Partners status will be placed on the board's agenda in July for consideration and appropriate action as authorized by law.
So, who's going to be making the payment?
Poitras will be making the January and February payment, but another company has assumed paying responsibilities for those properties that Poitras previously paid on.
Okay. All right. Mr. Sanders.
The company that they've assumed operation of the lease?
No, sir, they've only assumed payment of the royalties. It's the same operator, same lessee. It's just the payer on those properties have changed.
Did the board deal with that issue at all?
No, payer change is very common. It happens often. It's handled in-house.
There's no substitution of debtor?
No, sir.
Thank you. That's all the good.
All right. Any further questions? Discussion? Does this require any action? You just give us information.
Sir. Just informational. Item number two is a staff report to the committee that the election for the June 2014 gas royalty is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes the audit agenda.
All right. Thank you. Do you have a motion? If there's no other business, do you have a motion to adjourn? Pardon? Yes, Mr. Hyde, before.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I want to follow up on what Mr. Sanders said. I didn't quite understand the procedure of this substitution.
This is very it's very common. We have procedures in place. They have to notify us in writing. There's a specific form. Everything was followed in this case. Anybody can be a payer. Anyone that they designate to pay on those properties can pay. They submit the proper paperwork to our office. It's input into the system, and they assume paying those royalties. And that has happened in this case. It happened all the time.
Is there any release of the original debtor or the original?
No, sir. The payer is set up. Technically, what would happen in this case, Porges is set up through February 2014. So you can previous to February 2014, Porges is responsible for unless the other company assumes responsibility for it. But in our system, they're set up 2014 backward. This additional company was set up going from March 2014 forward. So they've just assumed it was only a few locos. Like
so what codes. Happens if they don't pay?
Then we go after them.
Go after whom?
We would go after Poydras for their portion of it. We would go after the additional company if they decide not to pay.
I have a question. Is so, you, what did you call them, a designated payer?
It's a payer, yes.
Is that different than an assignee?
Yes, very different.
Really? So, they haven't assumed any of the responsibilities of the lease, only payment?
Only payment.
Okay.
Is there a document which is executed which makes them responsible, or is
yes,
it a form that's filled out?
It's called a payer notification form. It's available on our website, and yes, they have to fill that out. It has to be approved by our office and put into the system.
But I know you told us it's a form, but is there a document which makes them liable?
Like a contractual arrangement?
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be between the operator of the lessee and the payer. It's not a contractual arrangement with us.
What? Why?
Just generally, this is Jackson Logan with the Attorney General's Office. Generally, they're the parties. As Rachel was explaining, oftentimes on leases, there's the lessee, the operator, and the payer. Sometimes they're all the same entity. Sometimes they're different. Each one's a different entity. In this instance, Poydras is the lessee, and they're the operator. But they have working interest owners who have decided to start taking over some of the payments. They do that through either a joint operating agreement or a division order or some sort of separate contractual agreement amongst themselves to obligate them to the payments. So, Poydras is the lessee and the operator, and they've done the designation through the procedures with OMR to make this other entity payer. So, to get to your question, what sort of legal contractual obligations are they tied to? Those are, you know, documents within the entities themselves, not really related to what OMR controls. At the end of the day, you know, the lessee's obligated to make the royalty payments, but we don't really care, or I say we, the state doesn't really concern themselves as to who makes those payments other than, you know, to be able to track it.
And let me interject something. And I guess the original lessee is still liable for all contractual obligations of that lease.
Yes.
So
Sanders has a question.
Well, you say yes, but is any relief, but is there any contractual release between the lessee and that payor in those documents, or and or does the department privy to those documents? Do they? Do you review those documents?
We have a copy of the division order.
Of the what?
Of the division order.
Is that an answer to my question? Because I don't know.
I believe it is an answer to your question, Mr. Hike. This is Ryan Seidman from the record. And, you know, I think that the ultimate question that I'm hearing here is that it's a question of responsibility, and can we hold certain parties' feet to the fire if they don't pay? And at the end of the day, I guess I have two responses to that. And I think the first response is really echoing what Rachel and Jackson have said, and that is that we do have enforceable obligations as to our lessees and their associated parties. With regard to these third-party payors, I would argue that we do have enforceable obligations as to them as well, but in terms of the details of how we get there, I'd really rather not go into that kind of legal strategy in an open meeting. But suffice it to say that I'm comfortable that we have legal recourse against these additional payors.
But sir, is it in a written document, or is it just in a legal theory?
We have.
I'm not probing you, but I'm wanting to know. Is it?
It's in a written document between the parties.
It's a combination of both. It arises by way of the written documents that exist.
Would it not be prudent to have an additional document of responsibility between that eventual payor in the state? I mean, I'm just asking.
I suppose it can hurt.
Okay, thank you.
I have one further question, not to belabor the issue. Who is receiving, what entity is receiving the proceeds of the sale of the products that are being produced in this by these wells or wells?
That's what the division order states.
And who is that?
I don't recall off the top of my head. There's probably 10 entities that receive or have a working interest in this field.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any further questions? If not, and there's no further business, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn the audit committee. Moved by Ms. Briette. Second by Mr. Klein. Any further questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The audit committee is now closed and adjourned.
Call to order the legal entitled controversy committee. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Segura? Mr. Arnold? Mr. Briette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Martin? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present on a quorum.
Good morning, Mr. Hike. We designate you as the... Mr. Heck. I was thinking about the highest question.
I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the hell's going on sometimes. Don't put me in that box.
All right, thank you. Item number one, excuse me, is a request by Energy 21 to amend their leases, state lease number 21266 through 21268. And 21270 through 21276 to increase the primary term from 3 years to 5 years. When these were originally bid, they were bid for 3 years, which is for an inland tract, but the tracts themselves were offshore tracts. We were notified the day after the lease sale that they made a mistake and meant to bid 5 years. our recommendation and the standard procedure is when you amend the lease, you add 0.5% increase in the royalty for the years added. So we would say that if they amend the lease, if the board allows the amendment of the leases to a 5-year, that increases for the fourth and fifth year, it increases the royalty by 0.5%, and it increases the a full bonus for the fourth and fifth year instead of the usual payment. And there's a representative here to address the board.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Scott Patton with Mahal, Fondren and Blaze Law Firm here in Baton Rouge, and I have Mr. Ben Marshieve here on behalf of Energy 21.
Good morning, Mr. Patton.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
We thank the staff for the recommendation, and we met with the staff on this, and like Rick said, this was a mistake in the preparation of a bid form. These tracts were eligible for a 5-year primary term for these leases, and just through an inadvertent mistake, somebody clicked 3 years instead of 5. This mistake was found either the afternoon or the next morning after the board meeting, and we called Rick and Emil immediately and said, look, we just made a mistake. Can we get this fixed? What do we need to get it done? And through further consultation, they realized it was, you know, this is going to have an amendment of the lease, and so here we are today. We understand the board's precedent in granting extensions of leases, and I've been before this board for companies when extensions have been granted, and typical situation, as far as that I've seen, is, you know, you're pushing up against the end of the primary term, you're waiting on a rig to get on location, and, you know, you're really in a bind, and you need that extra time. This is a little bit different situation, is that, you know, the situation was called immediately, you know, we were looking, you know, not asking for something for nothing, but it's, at this time, you know, based upon, you know, what we've seen, where we are, the situation is a little bit different from the typical lease extension. In the October 2013 meeting, for these leases alone, for these 10 leases, Energy 21 paid a total bonus of close to $1.9 million. And the rentals for those leases alone total about $940,000. These leases were part of a long-term plan of development that Energy 21 has in the Grand Island Main Pass area, and Mr. Marshieve can speak further on that. But having 5 years on these tracks is part of that plan. So Energy 21 is willing to work with the board, but they're sensitive to any escalation of the royalty in particular, just believe that paying a full bonus for each year plus 0.5% is just seems a little bit much for a simple mistake. We understand that an extension of the lease or a lease amendment requires some consideration, and that's why we're here before the board today, to explore our other options. One thing that we have discussed is possibility of just holding it to an escalated rental payment and leaving the royalty the same. We would ask that, if the board would be willing to entertain that in terms of entering into the amendment to extend the lease. If you have any questions for me or Mr. Marshieve, we'd be happy to answer them.
Ms. Tech, the recommendation that you've set out here does not include any of the provisions that council has suggested here, does it?
Council is
changing the recommendation and requesting additional relief because of the mistake. Is that what
that's correct.
And the staff recommendation
is based on a policy for amending the lease.
Okay. The board has heard.
Can I just get a clarification? What is it different that you're asking for again? Well, essentially, the staff's recommendation, what the precedent has been for an escalated royalty for the fourth and fifth years, whatever the extension is. So it would be an increase of 0.5% on the royalty each year, plus a full bonus. So for the fourth and fifth years on these leases alone, instead of paying $940,000 that Energy 21 is going to be paying for years 1, 2, and 3, for years 4 and 5 under the staff's recommendation, Energy 21 would be paying close to $1.9 million for each year.
Is that 0.5% for the fourth year and then an additional 0.5% for the fifth, or just 0.5%?
It's 0.5% for both the fourth.
Both. Okay.
Right. And fifth year.
And you're asking for, not the, you're not asking for the escalation.
Well, Interchwin would be willing to do an escalation, and one thing we've thought about is maybe doing 150% of the rental for the fourth and fifth year, rather than the full bonus for the fourth and the fifth year. So that would be $1.4 million in rental for those years instead of the $940,000 for years four and five.
Well,
I got a question. Tom, I got a question.
Who's holding? Who's holding?
I'd like.
Mr. Lambert, you're recognized. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Make it simple for me. The staff has a procedure that they historically have followed, and you're asking us to make an exception to that. Is that correct?
Essentially, that's correct.
So tell me exactly what the exception is again.
Well, essentially.
Well, let me back up and say, why do you deserve that?
Well, like I said before, essentially, many of the situations where you come and ask for an extension of the lease is when you're at the end of the primary term. You're at the end of your lease. Lease is about to expire, and you know, you don't have enough time to get a rig in there and drill your well and keep that lease going. Essentially, the operator's up against the wall, and they come to the board. They come meet the staff, say, hey, we need some more time. You know, for Energy 21, they made a mistake, but it was a, at best, be clarified, you know, it would be classified as a clerical error, you know, that they call it the very next day. You know, these leases were eligible for a five-year primary term, but just through a mistake that they did, they bid 3 years. Energy 21 has committed a lot of money and a lot of resources to this area in the last few years, you know, Mr. Marshy, I'm sure could give you a little more color on what's going on down there in terms of the investment that they've made. And so we're just asking for, you know, it's in the board's discretion to make an exception. So that's why we're here today.
I'd like to ask the staff if, I don't even know what your recommendation is, but if you were to recommend this, would this set a precedent for everybody that comes up behind them?
It would, because the recommendation we have basically is a policy that was established by the board that if an additional amendment to a lease form is made, it's done for an additional 0.5% royalty plus a full bonus instead of a rental for the years added. That's a policy that was established. So this would be In addition, this is not following the usual policy.
Does this cause the board to lose money for the state?
It would in royalty, yes.
And
assuming the lease, of course, is drilled and they make good well.
Give me a second, please.
Scott, I have a question. What was the... Okay, thank you.
It's a policy. It's written policy. I
know. Mr. Smith,
my dear,
recognize.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry I was receiving a message.
No. Staff. Yes, sir. Thank you. Scott, what was the total payout? You said originally $900,000. And then it would escalate to $1.8 million?
Yes, the current rental, which is half the bonus, is $940,000. And if Energy 21 is required to pay the full bonus for years four and five, it would be, you know, close to $1.9 million for years four, and then, you know, $1.9 million for year five.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mike?
Yes, sir. Mr. Heck, you heard the attorney say that the very next day that they contacted the department and told them about the mistake. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
The policy that you're referencing, is it a written policy?
If I may correct myself, I made a mistake. It's not a written policy. It's the practice of the board. It's not written. But it has been
policy of the board or the policy of the staff?
Staff
recommendation to the board.
Staff recommendation, which has been followed by the board and recommended by the staff.
I understand. But I'd like to make a motion. Can I ask one more
question? Just a second.
One question before?
Well, you can do it. I can ask the question.
You,
Yeah.
Mr. Mack, you want to make your motion before some additional questions?
No, I do want the floor for a motion, though. I'm sympathetic to the party here.
Okay,
to be honest with you.
I know Mr. Patton was stating some numbers, but if I can get either from here or the staff. When the bid was made, there's a rental payments, bonus, all the information that's required.
Correct.
Where were those numbers? Do you know? And what I'm trying to get at is, what did they bid on all those required numbers, as opposed to what would those numbers have been if they bid for the 5 years?
Okay. There would have been no change in the numbers. The only change would have been in the number of years for lease.
They would have two more years of lease payment.
Correct.
Wouldn't have affected the bonus or anything.
No, correct. It wouldn't have affected it.
So what difference is that you're paying an additional bonus and you're going to pay 0.5% royalty if you do produce?
Well, essentially, yes, if you get to years 4 and 5.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And I'd like to reiterate, the Energy 21 was the sole bidder on these tracks, so it wasn't a competitive situation. They were the only company that you know, were here that day.
Okay. Yeah. And how much is the additional bonus?
It would be close to $1.9 million a year.
So an additional $1.9 per year.
That's right.
Well, from 900 to 1.9.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No,
from 900 to 1.9.
That's clear. Yeah.
Correct.
That's correct.
A little more than double. Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Exactly, double. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you call
Mr. Klein. Yeah, Mr. Patton, when was the bid made again?
This was in October of 2013, so last fall.
And then you notified staff the next day of the mistake?
Yes, sir.
And then what's taking place between October of 2013 and now?
Well, We were actually on the docket for the November 2013 mineral board meeting, and after my initial conversation with Rick and Emil, we thought that maybe we can get this done. You know, I forgot exactly what language we were using, but just some sort of just quick amendment. You know, a mistake was made, but I think, and we were actually on the docket as of the week of the mineral board meeting back in November. But I think after the agenda meeting, there was consultation with the Attorney General's office, and they were afraid that if we did a change in the lease without coming before the board and doing a full amendment, then that there would be some concerns regarding violation of the public bid law. And so then we were in discussions with the board and just to come in and have to sit down with the staff to discuss this. And we had a meeting in March with the staff, and then I know, realize now that it's June, but frankly, Energy 21 is very active and been very busy, and you know, just taking some time to get over here and sit down.
I'm ready for a motion if there's no further discussion.
Has a question.
I have a question, if I could.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Lambert, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Lambert.
I have a general question for the staff. I've been up here for maybe a year, and things come up. Give me some ballpark. What portion of the decisions that we have to make are custom, and what portion are written down? Because it gets kind of murky here, where we looking at it subjectively. Every case, should we not have some firm rules that would not put us in a position where somebody in comes? I don't even know these guys, so I have nothing against them, but I do know that I read on a regular basis that our procedures are watched, you know, by the legislative auditor just like everybody else's. And I think one of the main things that they care about is generating revenue for the state so they can balance the budget and so forth.
Correct.
And I'm not taking a position on this. I'm just sharing with you some of the thoughts that are going through my head. I mean, if this is something that you have some flexibility on, it's not in stone, so to speak, this particular policy.
Correct. This is not, as far as I know, this is not written policy. It has just been the board's procedure, the staff's procedure to give it to the board, and the board's procedure
to go along with the staff as long as I've been here.
How long has this been going on? Probably since 1920 or something like that.
Well, I've been here more than 20 years. It's been more than 20 years.
Well, at some point, I'd like for the staff, they could either do it office aside or they could make a presentation to tell us why that procedure goes on. We're moving along. Should we be more organized from the standpoint of so that people like them are going to know exactly what to expect? I'm not criticizing you. I'm just asking because quite often I see someone in here asking for an exception. And most of the time it costs the state money.
Well, let's put it this way. In the past, every time we've made a recommendation to extend the term of a lease, it has been for additional royalty and additional payment.
That's good. I'm not critical of that.
Right. So the state hasn't lost money.
Well, I'm not saying the state lost money, but will the state lose money today if we do this?
If they drill a good well, it might.
So you kind of make your decision sometimes based on not throwing dice, because that's not the right way to look at it, but whether they hit a dry hole or whether they...
Well, if it's a dry hole and we carry out our usual procedure, we'll gain the money by the additional payment that they make each year. If they drill a good well, under the usual policy, we would get the increased royalty. If the board waives the royalty, then we still get the additional payment every year. But if they drill a good well, the state would not get the additional royalty. So that in that instance, the state would lose money.
But you only got the additional royalty because of the mistake.
Exactly. Right.
If they would have properly bid the 5 years, they would have paid what they paid.
Correct.
And the state would not be out on any money.
Correct.
We had a full discussion. Any further comments or any more discussion?
Yes, sir. I'd just like to clarify what the proposal you had was for the board to consider as far as the consideration that should be made.
Well, we were willing to do an escalation of the rental to 150% of what the current rental is, and leaving the royalty the same. Leaving the royalty the same for the fourth and fifth years, and the escalated rental only for the fourth and fifth years as well.
What does that amount to?
The escalated rental, if we went to 150%, would go from $940,000 a year to $1.4 million and change per year.
That's for the fourth and fifth year?
For the fourth and fifth years only, yes.
Chair has a point of information question. We are absolutely forbidden from donating anything or disposing of anything where the state has a right to it. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a legal question here as to whether this board is fully empowered to waive what our policy is here or our standard practice? Because we have the opportunity to gain. And Chair's not taking a position on this. I'm just asking the question. What is going to be the payment council if the board holds the line and puts the mistake where it was made? And you have to live up to their recommendation. What is the immediate non-payment to the state?
Well, the immediate payment is going to be the same, but it would be in the fourth and fifth years of these leases. What Energy 21 would be paying per year, if we went with staff's recommendation, it would go from $940,000 to $1.9 million.
Because of the escalated royalty.
Well, escalated rental, yes. And the royalty would only come into effect if they eventually drill a well out there. Productive well.
Chair is ready to entertain a motion. If we have full discussion, anybody else have a question? Chair will entertain a motion.
Yes. I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman. I would move that this board amend the lease Let me back up. The motion I'm going to make is that the board amend the lease to 5 years, and rather than accept the recommendation of the staff, that we accept the recommendation of Energy 21, and that is that, if I correctly can articulate it, that there'd be 150% escalation. The royalty would remain the same. This would mean that the payment would go from $940,000 to $1.4 million. Is that in the fourth year? Yes, sir.
Fourth and fifth.
The fourth and fifth year.
Right.
And that would be my motion, and I'd like to just tell you what my reasoning is there. Number one, we're not giving away anything. You're right. The state cannot give away any of its assets. But number two, we should not penalize them for a mistake which has been recognized by the state in his own in the testimony of the state, and that is that they attempted to correct this the very next day. Number three, you've heard me say before that we should have written policy. We don't have written policy in certain areas, and hopefully somewhere along the line we address that issue. This has been a recommendation in terms of the staff, and I'm not faulting the staff, but they're just following what has been going on for a long time, and sometimes those things need to be looked at, and sometimes those things need to be written because times change. So I don't think we're violating any trust, if you will, of the state of Louisiana. So that's the reason that I make this motion, and we should not penalize these gentlemen if it's a clerical mistake. And any written policy, there should be some type of, in my mind at least, some type of discretion and possible exemption, if you will, for an honest mistake. Any written policy should have some type of an exception. So, for that reason, that's why I make that motion.
Mr. Hyde has recognized. I mean, Mr.
Fine.
Fine, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Fine. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any?
I'd like to make a substitute motion after you all vote on this motion.
State it, please, sir, and then we'll determine, parliamentary, someone will determine how we proceed.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we postpone this decision until next month so the board can get a better understanding of the financial impact on this lease.
And I'll second the substitute.
As a mover, do you have any objections to that?
I do. I would think that issue can be addressed right now. It would seem to me that the staff could tell us what the loss would be. But it's not really, in my mind at least, it's not an immediate loss.
There is no loss.
If in fact we don't, with all due respect, if we don't allow this exception, I think we're penalizing these gentlemen who are already operating. It's already been admitted by the state. If, for instance, our staff had not admitted that this was a clerical mistake, I would not be making this motion. And that's why I asked this question. To me, that was significant. If this was a clerical mistake and it was addressed immediately by this particular company and they were on the next agenda, then why? What reason is there to not grant this exception? I don't see any reason that we would not. So I would argue that we should just move forward on it.
Chair recognizes.
I agree as well. I don't think that, unless there's some confusion, I don't think there's a loss to the state. If they would have bid the 5 years, the only other thing they would have done, other than they have done for the 3 years, is pay two more years of rentals, right?
Exactly. At the same time.
So they bid on the 3 years, they have a 3 year lease. Now, they're just asking to extend it to the two more years, which they were originally wanted to do, which the only thing they... So the state hasn't lost anything. They could walk away today and just keep a 3 year lease. So that's not what you want to do, but they already have a lease. So the thing is you're offering an inflated bonus, 150%, as additional consideration. Does that equal the
the 2 years, the additional 2 years of lease?
150% would be, again, a bonus and a half
right.
for each additional year. That's correct.
So we're not really out there. Yeah, a rental and a half. We're not really out. Under that situation, we're not really out any money. So, anyway.
Am I recognized?
Oh, yes, sir.
You
holler.
The reason that
Lambert.
I seconded that motion is because it seems to me that there are some here who are more familiar with it, and I respect that, you know. And I may vote for it, but I'm not going to vote for it today if it's voted on, for the simple reason that I would like a little more time, so would Gary. So it's just up to y'all, you know, whether y'all want to give us that time or not. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if we get the time, I'd like to meet with staff and get a better grasp of this. But, you know, if you feel otherwise, it's no offense will be taken.
Okay. For the record, the mover is not willing to accept the amendment or substitute motion.
Point of order right now, defer to the Attorney General's office to make sure I get this right. The proper procedure at this time is for the board to vote whether or not to accept the substitute. And if they do not, then you go back and vote on the original motion.
That's right.
Is that the procedure, Mr.?
You vote on the substitute first.
Yes, that's right. My appreciation of the procedure.
So we're voting on the substitute motion at this time.
You're not voting the substitute up or down. You're voting whether to accept it and as a substitute motion.
Right.
We're following proper rules.
Well, the point being...
Excuse me just a second. We're following proper Robert's rules of order here, Mr. Simon.
Yes.
Thank you.
The point being that I was going to say is that if in fact, the substitute is voted favorably, then they prevail. The main motion fails. But if it is not voted favorably, then the vote occurs on the main motion.
That's correct.
Are you ready for my vote?
Just to clarify, if the substitute is accepted, then the board will debate the merits of the substitute and vote it up or down. It requires two votes for the substitute to be accepted. First, you have to vote whether to accept the substitute and then whether or not to accept the motion.
Having heard the explanation, we will vote on whether to allow the substitute motion at this time.
I call for a vote on the substitute.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's the vote we're going to take right now.
Name.
My name. Would you call
my name's Paul Segura. No.
Excuse me. May I hear, have a poll of the board on this motion only right now? Thank you.
Mr. Segura?
No.
Mr. Bryant?
No.
Mr. Schultz?
No.
Mr. Cordero?
No.
Mr. Lambert?
Yes.
Mr. Martin?
No.
Mr. Sanders?
Well, I'm not going
okay. to. Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein?
No.
Mr. Height?
No.
We have 7 nays and 2 yeas. The nays carry. So now we defer to the original motion.
Thank you. Chair will entertain a vote on the... Any further discussion? Chair will entertain a vote, a voice vote, on the current motion.
Aye.
Mr. Height?
Aye.
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 Someone reporting them?
So the vote's of clarity, do you want to do a roll call?
I prefer a roll call because I'm not keeping roll.
I'll take care of that. Mr. Segura? Mr. Bryant?
Aye.
Mr. Schultz?
Yes.
Mr. Cordero?
Yes.
Mr. Lambert?
No.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mr. Height?
Yes.
Okay, we have 6 yeas and 2 nays. The yeas carry.
Okay.
All right. Next item, please, Mr. Height. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Item number?
Just a second, please.
Oh.
Yeah.
Item 2.
He's not ready for me, but we're going to start with 192. And we'll have to be 4-inch information.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's much better. Thank you. May I request it be that way in the future when I'm presiding as chair? Mr. Hank, you recommend, I mean, Mr. Hank, you recommend your recommendation.
Okay.
On the next item.
Okay, on the next item is a request for final approval of three different unitization agreements. Excuse me, the first one is between the state and Century Exploration of New Orleans, and that's on the docket of item number 14-21. The second is also between the state and Century Exploration of New Orleans, and that's on the docket of item 14-22. The third one is between the state and Square Mile Energy LLC, and it's on the docket as 14-23. These were unitization agreements that were brought before the board at the last meeting. They're ready. They've been advertised, and the staff does recommend final approval.
And what's the pleasure of the board? Chair will entertain a motion. I think we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any objection to the motion? Chair none. Motion carried unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, item number three is a request by Rob Schroeder on behalf of the Troa Resources LLC. It's for a waiver of the liquidated damage for a late release of state lease 2483 and 21074. The first one is for $8,700. It was 87 days late. The second one was for $8,300. It was 83 days late. It's 21072, not 74. I apologize. And this was their first offense. And again, on first offense, the staff does recommend a waiver of the entirety of
the recommendation of staff. What's the pleasure of the board? Your motion?
Motion.
Accept. Cadera for the motion. Do I hear a second? Thank you very much. Any public comment on the motion? We want to be sure we ask for that. What is the pleasure of the board? How many ayes? How many nays? Any objection to the motion? Hear none? Silence? Nothing but silence? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heck. Next item.
Okay. You ready to go on to the next one?
I'm sorry, sir.
You ready to go on to the next one?
Yes, sir. Next okay. item, please, sir.
This is for informational purposes only. It's a request by BHP Billiton. I thought they had somebody here to address the board, but this was for a reconsideration.
Mr. Reynolds is here.
Okay. This is concerning the board's action at the last to negotiate with Chesapeake for operating agreement on title disputed acreage. This is for informational purposes only.
Okay. All right. I am Rick Revels with Lisco & Lewis, and I'm here today on behalf of BHP Billiton. And I'm asking for at least a partial reconsideration of what was decided at your May meeting, insofar as your decision to exclusively negotiate an operating agreement with Chesapeake Energy covering disputed acreage to which both the state and Wildlife and Fisheries have a claim. In seven sections, this is mostly up in Red River Parish, and BHP is the operator of Haynesville units in two of those sections. So we're not at all averse to the board negotiating an operating agreement with Chesapeake as to the other five sections, but only insofar as concerns sections 13 and 14, which are operated insofar as the Haynesville is concerned by BHP. And just briefly, I don't know Robert's rules of order, but I feel like if I'm brief, everybody will appreciate it. So, but why should you reconsider that decision? First, I would just say I've been practicing before Office of Mental Resources and the board for my entire 33-year career, and I do think it is quite customary when there's disputed acreage in a unit that the board looks first to give the first opportunity to the unit operator with respect to sections 13 and 14, that is BHP. BHP has drilled a unit well in both of the units. The unit wells cost over $10 million. And so I think it follows customary practice, which is, Mr. Hike, not written down. But be that as it may, I think there also there's a common sense reason for that policy. And I think it is because generally you as a landowner, like other landowners, when your interests are aligned with the operator, things tend to work better for you. BHP is the operator. Certainly they've done the development up to now. By the way, you know, Chesapeake participated in the unit well in Section 13, but non-consented the well in Section 14. We believe if you give BHP at least the opportunity to forget some sort of contract on the disputed acreage, this will facilitate additional development. The wells are pretty good. BHP thinks this is a fairly good area. Unfortunately, these wells were drilled at a time when we had low natural gas prices. But that doesn't mean at some future time that development wells can't be profitably drilled. If this is our only chance at an opportunity to top the acreage, we would have no problem with you exposing the acreage to lease. This may, in fact, maximize upfront payments, at least, to the state, and as opposed to being foreclosed to having any chance to get an operating agreement or a mineral lease on this acreage, we'd certainly be in favor of you putting the acreage up for lease. So I appreciate your consideration. I'll attempt to do my best to answer any questions you have, should you have any.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Go ahead.
Mr. Hike, you're ready.
Mr. Revels.
Yes, sir.
Why were you not here for that meeting? And are your client? I mean, you know, the horse is out the barn, right?
Could be. I often tell my clients that they should have hired me earlier.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. That's a very good excuse. Thank you very much for your
retainer. On retainer.
Well, and I have a question. Why just those two sections?
The two sections are the only two that BHP operates. So it feels like equity's running in favor in the two sections, but not otherwise. So that's why we've never asked for anything other than that.
All right.
Thanks.
Next question.
Right.
And for the record, the chair was not present last month when this was dealt with, and I didn't. I'm not participating today other than just acting as chair. I was absent last month. Is there any other question, comment by the... Well, maybe we ought to entertain a motion.
No. There's no...
We have representatives of Chesapeake here, too, if they would like to speak.
I'm having a little trouble following the script this morning. I understand. It's not a motion matter. We're just taking information today. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good to see you.
Marjorie McKiffin here for Chesapeake.
Nice to see you, Ms. McKiffin.
And also Josh Norris. And I was here at the meeting last month.
I was too, and I'm not one to talk ourselves out of anything, which I can do quite well, so maybe we should just sit here and shut up.
At least you were hired.
You know, while we have a little levity, I wasn't going to miss our youngest Texas granddaughter's graduation from A&M, nor the fact that our first great grandchild's birthday was the next day. And she's going to A&M Law School. So there was a legitimate reason. Thank you.
You were trying to talk them into coming to a Louisiana school?
I didn't have any control over that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
But with that, I just, for a little bit of background, which I think that you all are familiar with anyway, but just to rehash, if you'd like that, Mr. Norris can give you a little bit of background on how we ended up asking for the operating agreement.
This is a classic case.
The chair recognizes you, sir. Go ahead, sir.
A classic case of when an operating agreement is appropriate. All of this acreage is at issue in a lawsuit. Title is disputed. We, Chesapeake, contacted jointly the staff at the behest of BHP several months ago. A meeting was arranged that was supposed to be a joint meeting, and at some point, 48 hours before that meeting, BHP withdrew from that meeting for reasons unknown. We had the meeting, and we accepted all of the terms that were offered to be recommended to you, and we just need time now to effectuate those operating agreements. There was a meeting yesterday with Chesapeake Land representative and staff ironing out title issues and acreage issues and property descriptions and those types of things. And we hope to wrap this up shortly and hope to be back in front of you very soon presenting you with the operating agreements as to the acreages that we're looking at.
Thank you for your presentation. I have been informed that this is an informational only process today, and there's no item here for motions or a vote. Is that correct? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming to see us. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
And you also, sir.
Okay. Item number five is a request by QEP Energy Company for additional time. It's to confect an operating agreement. They're in the process of confecting an operating agreement with the state. There is disputed acreage and acreage that would be wildlife and fisheries. If the operating agreement is confected, they need additional time to do that. They're asking for an additional 60 days to do that, at which time they would present the operating agreement to the board for approval, and the staff does ask that they be granted the additional 60 days.
Heard the staff's recommendation. What's the pleasure of the board? Entertain a motion. Thank you very much, Mr. Fine. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Cadera. Is there any public comment on this motion? Is there any board comment on this motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Okay, we have.
Please, Mr. Heck.
The next couple of items will be in the executive session from the Attorney General's office.
Thank you, sir. I have a motion to go into executive session.
Move.
Second. Any objection? Thank you. Thank you. You have my permission.
All right. At this time, I'd like to open the regular board meeting because it's a little after 11, and then we'll recess it so we can finish our committee meetings. Roll call, please.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Burnett?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders? Is present?
Present. Thank you.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Cohen? Is present? Is he still present?
He was.
Okay. And he's present. Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present in a quorum.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to entertain a motion to go to recess so that we can finish our committee meetings, and then when we finish with those, we'll come back into regular board meeting. We have a motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. Any questions or discussion, public comment? If not, all in favor of recess?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We're in recess. We'll go back in the regular committee meetings. Legal and title.
just clarification, we will take up items 6 and 7 on legal and title, and then the staff would like to recess legal and title and do the docket before we do item number 8.
Correct. Okay. I defer to the Attorney General's office on the last two items.
Thank you, folks. Ryan Seideman, the Attorney General's office. Pursuant to our discussions in executive session, just would like, would hope that the board would offer and entertain motions to authorize us to negotiate on the two matters pursuant to our discussions.
Chair, do I hear a motion, Mr. Lambert?
Second.
Chair, have a second?
Second.
Any objection to the motion? Any public comment on the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, the last item on legal and title, I would suggest that we defer that until after the other committee meetings are over with.
So do we need to recess legal and title?
We need to recess.
Move to recess legal and
title. Hear a motion, hear a second. Thank you, Mr. Any objection? Record recess.
Docket.
The docket committee would please come to order, and I ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Burriette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Martin? Here. Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Cleary?
Here.
Mr. Height?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present and a quorum.
We have a quorum present. I call on Mr. Dennis with staff to present the docket committee recommendations.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources have reviewed those items requiring board approval for the June 11, 2014 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. Item number 3, approve, subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number 4 through items 13. Item 14, approve, subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items 15 through items 23. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. For Category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 through items number 3, and that will complete the staff's recommendation to the docket review committee.
All right, are there any questions from the board, from the committee? Any public comment? Those in favor of the staff recommendation, please vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. The ayes have it. It's adopted. Mr. Chairman, I need a motion to adjourn this committee.
Second.
Mr. Cordero, the committee is adjourned.
Thank you.
Move.
Okay. The last item on legal and title is a presentation of the new lease form.
And Mr. Heck, you have a panel of employees who are going to assist us.
Correct.
Ask for them to come to the table now. still waiting for the projector to get going. I'll just clarify, Mr. Heck, this is an informational only item. It's not for board action at this time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
We got the jump drive. I'll have it. Rebecca, you don't have a drive with this on you, because it's not loaded. Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah.
What we need, you have a flash drive? We need to go get one.
Who has a flash drive? I never have.
Just look it up on it. Just get the email. Can you get email? Hey, Vic.
Things
okay? Vic. There's something else we can do?
Hmm?
There's something else we can do?
Finish the rest of the meeting. Set to do.
We can go back into the regular meeting.
Yeah.
And technical.
That's what I thought we would do anyway. Vic, let's finish the rest of the meeting first. As you said, recommend we finish the rest of the meeting. Let's go ahead and award the leases, get everything done.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I understand we don't have the presentation yet, so can we is there a kid playing with the switch or
Mr. Chairman, you must have money here. I mean, is that what you should do with all his penalties?
That's right. Okay. I think what we'll do is I'll make a motion to go into recess of legal entitled so we can wait for the presentation to get here. Okay. And I'll open the regular board meeting. Do I have a motion to come back into regular session of the regular board meeting? Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Secretary Schutz. We're back in session for the regular board meeting, if you haven't been confused yet. Item two is, and the state has not lost any money. item two is approval of the May 14th, 2014 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Moved by Ms. Sanders.
Okay, a motion by Mr. Sheets to approve the May 14th minutes, second by Mr. Hike. Any comments or discussion? Any public comments? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. We'll accept all the, I guess, can we accept legal and title since it's merely a presentation? Okay. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, lease review committee. B, nomination and track committee. C, audit committee. D, legal and title controversy committee. And E, docket review committee. Do I have a motion to accept those committee recommendations? Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Klein. Any further discussion or questions on the committee recommendations?
Mr. Chairman, I have one inquiry.
Mr. Hyde.
With regards to the legal and title committee and number, I guess it was number 3.
Yes.
And in that staff recommendation, staff says the staff has applied the board's established criteria for waiver to the facts of this particular situation.
Sure.
It recommends.
Right.
And my question
does. Is that the, well, go ahead. No, no.
My question is, again, is that a written policy that the staff has, or
is that the written criteria for the waiver of liquidated damages?
That's in writing, and I believe it's in your
book. Packet.
Thank you, Mr. Devitt.
In the notebook.
Is that the document in the back of the notebook?
It's one of the documents in the back, yes, sir, in the reference material, okay. And it was written criteria and adopted pursuant to a board resolution.
When was that?
I believe it's dated 2009. I don't have a copy in my packet.
All right. All right, good. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
I believe it's the one that waives certain percentages based on years late and things like that. Yeah.
2009.
April of 2009. All right, so we had a motion by Mr. Sanders, second by, was it Mr. Hike? For the committee recommendations. All in favor? All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Those recommendations are accepted. Item 4 is the executive session for the technical briefing. Are we ready, Mr. Brown? We need a motion to go into executive session. Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Smith. Any questions? Any public comments? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We are in recess for our technical briefing.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Huh? Absolutely. Word of Mary.
Yeah, there you go.
How many copies of these warm do I need? Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you, Star. You're starting now.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, really?
Can't find my example.
I didn't know anything about that.
This is the only thing we're going to need a copy of.
I had a woman pop papers, but she took
all papers. I'll make a copy.
Okay. Thanks.
Could we just get the lights turned on just for a second while we do the bid? And then you don't have to raise the shades. All right. This time I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in the regular session so we can have our technical briefing. Motion by Secretary Schutz, second by Mr. Klein. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. I designate Mr. Victor Vaughn to present the bids to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 43938, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. As a result, we recommend accepting the bid of Hellas Oil and Gas Company. As to the bid of Caddo Management Incorporated, after we finalize the property descriptions, we recommend that Caddo Management Incorporated be granted an option to take the remaining property of its bid minus any property bid by Hellas Oil and Gas Company at Caddo Management Incorporated's bid price. On track number 43944, the staff, we had two bids. We had a bid from True Energy LLC for the entire track, and we had a bid by Gill Exploration Incorporated on the entire track. The staff recommends that the bid by Gill Exploration Incorporated be accepted. As to the remaining tracks receiving bid, the staff recommends that those bids be accepted.
All right. Do we have any questions or discussions on any of those bids? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept those bids. Move to accept those bids by Mr. Sanders, second by Ms. Bourette. Any other questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Those bids are accepted. There's no further business?
No, sir.
Great. Thank you. At this time, I believe we will go back. Are we ready? So we need to reopen. Do we need to close the board meeting? Okay. I'd like to recess the regular board meeting so we can go back in the legal and title controversy committee so we can have a presentation on our new lease form, our proposed lease form, a working draft. Do we have a motion?
Motion by Schutz.
Motion by Mr. Schutz to go into recess. Second by Mr. Briet. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
Oh, the legal entitled to order again. Ready to go?
Yep.
The final item is the presentation that's been mentioned. There are 17 slides we're going to be presenting to you affecting those various provisions in the proposed new lease form. Each slide is set up with an issue and how it affects the present and or the new lease form, and we'll follow that format. If you have questions, we have the panel up here to answer any questions for clarification. The first slide deals with the bonus clause. And the issue here is a process is needed for adjusting bonus and rental amounts when acreage calculation errors are timely discovered. In the present lease form, it does not provide for adjustments to bonus or rental amounts. In the new lease form, it allows for adjustments to bonus and rental amounts if the acreage calculation error is detected within the first year of the primary term. I will go through all 17 slides until you stop me for any clarification. The second slide deals with the rental clause, and the issue here is lessees do not pay rental during the years in which operations or production occurs across an anniversary date. In the present lease form, when operations or production is maintaining a lease across the anniversary date, no rental is due until the next anniversary date, even when those activities cease. But in the new lease form, when operations or production is ongoing on an anniversary date, no payment is due. If operations cease, lessee is granted 90 days to resume operations or make a pro rata rental payment to maintain the lease until the next anniversary date.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question or observation on that? Could you give us an example, if not today, at another date, as to exactly what you mean by crossing an anniversary date and what effect that may or may not have?
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, Mr. Chairman, I would ask staff that at the next meeting dealing with the lease, this particular proposed lease, that, and I'll make this a general request for, I guess, the majority of the lease, as it affects the rental clause, the deferred development clause, the deep rights bonding, offset royalty transfer and assignment, unit plats, lease reporting, plugging. What I want to know with those particular clauses is, one, what do our neighboring states, how do our neighboring states handle that, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, as it relates to this particular form? Two, what is private industry, what does private industry do in those particular areas in terms of the clause? Those are my two concerns about all of those particular clauses. What are our neighboring states doing? What is private industry doing in those particular circumstances? I'd like to know how that may affect our industry in this state and how it compares to other states and private industry, if I make myself clear.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hank, I'll address that just in general. That is how the staff developed this lease form. We got leases from large private landowners from other states, and that's the basis for how we
I would like specific
started working on it. Yes, sir. We are going to get it specific for each provision for the next
I would like specifics with regards to private industry in this state, how it addresses those issues in private leases, and I would like to know particularly how the state of Texas, Mississippi, and Alabama address those issues.
Yes, sir, we'll take care of that. Regarding examples, that's why we have the panel here. They are prepared to give you examples on every single slide if you request them.
I just want, with regards to example, I just want an example, if you will, with regards to crossing an anniversary date. What does that mean and what effect is that?
I think the question, the answer to that isn't that if when you have operations of production, you don't pay a lease payment, it comes out of the production, right?
That's correct. If those activities are ongoing over an anniversary date.
Mr. Bradbury, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I can give you some. This is one of the more common things that come out when we have a whole process for reviewing leases on an annual basis, usually on the anniversary date, and it starts a process. But one of the more common things is people initiate their drilling or reworking operations right before the anniversary date and work across it. And then they may or may not place the well on production immediately, because basically it means they hold the property without the state receiving any revenue on it until possibly the next anniversary date.
Long and short is we're losing money, right?
Yeah, we lose money on it. Now, what the current lease form or the new lease form would do is
address that issue.
It would address that issue.
And the question I have with regards to that and others is, what are the other states doing and what does private industry do?
I don't have that research.
correct. Well, we don't have the specifics on that.
She said that
was
the basis. She said that was the basis of this particular recommendation.
No, sir. I said in general, that's the basis how we develop the new lease form. But as far as the specifics, we will have that for you for every provision.
Thank you.
Moving along to slide 3, deferred development clause. The issue is lessees pay no deferred development on acreage outside of an established unit during years in which operation or production occurs across an anniversary date. The present lease form does not allow for a pro rata deferred development payment. However, in the new lease form, when operations or production maintains non-unitized acreage over an anniversary date and then ceases, a pro rata deferred development payment is due 90 days thereafter and will maintain the non-unitized acreage on the lease until the next anniversary date. The next slide deals with deep rights. And as you can see there, to be more specific, we cite the paragraph and the page where it explains it in its totality. But as far as deep rights, the issue deals with leases are not being fully developed at all depths. Present lease form, production from any depth maintains all depths of a lease. Under the new lease form, at the end of the primary term or the deferred development period, if applicable, the lessee must release all depths 100 feet below the deepest productive horizon. Bonding requirements. The issue there is a need for security for the payment of damages caused by the lessee and for performance of the lease obligations. The present lease form contains no bonding provisions, but under the new lease form it requires surety and performance bond in the amount of not less than $500,000, which may increase for specified reasons.
Mr. Chairman, I want to ask a question with regards to that. Mr. Fontenot, how did we arrive at the $500,000? I know initially it was $1 million. How would we get to 500? Was there a criteria for that particular valuation? So what was it?
There was no criteria set for that. It was in reaction to comments to the 2010 proposal. It was cut in half to 500,000. There are some, we have some data that we can give you that may give you a sense of where this would fit. For instance, the average lease produces $356,000 in royalty per year.
The criteria I'm interested in with regards to that, sir, is what is our competitors doing in that regard? What's private industry do? What are other states doing? That's what's important to me. So if you can get that information to me as I requested earlier.
We will get that to you.
Thank you.
The next bullet point is bond may be used to...
Sanders' question?
Yes, sir.
About the $500,000. When was the last time, just for history, when was the last time we did the lease form?
There was a major revision in 2000, and then there was some additions in 2012.
This is the first time we've ever required any kind of performance bond.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes.
Is there a clause in there that allows that to be increased over time, since it might be 5 or 10 years before we come back to this again, and $500,000 won't even begin to be enough?
There isn't anything to accommodate for inflation.
Okay.
But there is,
good point,
at this point, a basis for increasing it on the number of wells that are drilled, and if the state finds the conditions on the ground such that more security is needed there is a provision in this current draft to increase the amount required.
Would that $500,000 bond, in your judgment, based on your experience and the institutional knowledge we have here, would that even come close to fulfilling obligation to plug and abandon, considering the fact that that's a big issue in this state right now, and the litigation has been dealt with, and et cetera, et cetera?
For one well, I'll give you some data based on the state's plugging and abandoning costs.
Yes, sir.
For wells on water, and I'm looking at data from 2009 to 2013, the cost to plug and abandon, the average cost was $142,000 for an on-water site. It would be less than that for an on-land site.
And, of course, there's going to be a tremendous variance depending on the level of production as to the number of wells on any particular lease, is there not?
Yes, that $142,000 is per well. It does not, though, include site restoration.
Can without a tremendous amount of work and in a matter of time, a staff, can we determine? Because we have a lot of abandoned wells, I'm reading the newspaper in this state, that haven't been plugged.
Yes,
sir. I'm told that, and that's in the news. Can we get some data on what we might be looking at here, because $500,000 doesn't go very far, in my judgment. If you had, give me your, let me back up. Right now, does anybody have an idea where we have 10 producing wells in one particular lease? I'm sure that happens all the time in high production areas.
Anybody got any examples?
Of what?
10 producing wells. I
apologize for the poor quality of the question.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see if we have any handle on the data, or can we get any handle on the data?
So what you're looking for is a lease that has 10 producing wells?
Yes, sir. Just an example.
Many of the older leases are like that.
I'm thinking about this big state lease.
The larger, older ones, 301, 188, 340.
35.
A lot of those have 10 producers or more, and then they'll have several inactive wells also on those properties.
Just as a matter of statement of policy, I believe that we have a responsibility to the future citizens of this state to deal with these unplugged and abandoned and wells and these well sites that aren't cleaned up, et cetera.
Within our normal practices of the, it used to be called the fact-finding process, but the lease review process, as part of this for leases that are on annual review, one of the questions we ask the operator is the status of inactive wells, and where it looks like they've been inactive a while, we look for abandonment schedules and things like that. So we are proactive about doing this, and we're also constantly looking at open acreage for inactive wells, and I have a good relationship with the people that we work with at conservation, and generally when we request a compliance order on those wells, they go and get it.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, sir.
I would just add one other thing. The criteria mentioned that would cause the bond to increase, I believe that would include when multiple wells are drilled on a lease.
Yes. We have a per well minimum of $500,000 right now in the draft, but if we see other risk factors, we can increase the required bond.
Thank you.
I'd like to follow up on that. I'd like you to be a little bit more specific. For instance, on your slide, you say the $500,000, which may be increased for specified reasons. Can you show me in the lease, in this proposed lease, where that says that and what those specified reasons would be? Because I think bonding, to me, is one of the most important aspects of this whole lease form, and we need to get that right.
Yes, if you look on page 9 of the draft that you have.
Page 9?
Yes. The starting one-third of the way down the page, the yellow text is is the added provision for bond, and the if you look at the second yellow paragraph,
right,
the amount of such bond and or other acceptable security shall be increased if reasonably deemed necessary at the sole discretion of lessor as each new well is drilled on this lease by an amount acceptable to lessor and sufficient to plug and abandon each said new well in full accordance with the rules.
Correct. Thank you. Okay. Should the department, again, sound like I'm beating a dead horse, and I apologize.
No, sir, it's a complex issue, and I think...
Should we have more, not in the lease itself, but within your, quote, policy, should we not specify what those conditions may or may not be? Is that something that you could consider?
I think it could be considered.
I mean, I think that's a little bit about what Mr. Sanders is talking about. You know, you're talking about inflation, you're talking about financial stability, credibility, et cetera. I would ask that you go back and look at that and not necessarily put it in the lease itself, because that may be detrimental to the lease. But as we go through this process, put that in some type of written form. Thank you.
Continuing with bullet point 2 and 3 for the remainder of this slide, bond may be used to satisfy unpaid royalty due or to satisfy any other unfulfilled lease obligations, and bond may be used to fulfill plug and abandonment and site restoration requirements. The next slide deals with the offset provision. And it's that provision in its entirety, as you see, is on paragraph 5, page 11. The issue clarifies language on lessees' responsibility to protect lease premises from drainage for an offsetting well or wells greater than 660 feet from the lease. Under the present lease form, the language does not specifically state the lessee's obligations to protect the lease from drainage for well or wells completed greater than 660 feet from the lease. Under the new lease form, should the lessee know or have reason to know based on geological, geophysical, or other relevant data that drainage of the lease is occurring, lessee has the obligation to protect the lease from drainage. The next slide deals with the royalty provision. Again, the reference underneath there is where it can be found. The issue, current royalty provision is outdated and confusing. Under the present lease form, it contains the outdated concept of posted prices. But under the new lease form, the fair market value is based on NYMEX or other specific indices for oil. Fair market value is based on Bloomberg, Platts, or other specific indices for gas. It disallows deductions for marketing fees. It adds, as part of plant depreciation, less salvage value. It clarifies which costs of operating and maintaining the plant are deductible from royalty. And it also has a provision that is similar to the provision in the current operating agreement form. The next slide deals with single payor. The issue is it is difficult to determine if the state has been paid in full when there is more than one payor, and those payors use different payment methodologies. Under the present lease form, it is silent on the number of allowable payors. But the new lease form requires lessee to designate one payor for each individual property formed under the lease and the provision is similar to a provision that is in the current operating agreement form. And the next slide deals with transfers and assignments of leased interest. The issue here is the state means to ensure that lease obligations are fulfilled when a lease is transferred to another party. The present lease form does not state what lessor may consider when deciding whether to approve an assignment. Under the new lease form, transfer is not valid without maintenance of bond and insurance. Transferee must provide written evidence thereof, and the lessor can consider transferee's financial capacity and ability to continue reasonable development. The next slide deals with unit plats. Lessees are not providing surveyed unit plats to OMR in a timely manner, which are used to determine the state's royalty share. Under the present lease form, no penalty for lessee's failure to furnish a surveyed unit plat. But under the new lease form, no voluntary unit or pooling agreement shall be approved until a surveyed unit plat has been submitted to OMR. Also, lessee must furnish a surveyed unit plat to OMR upon approval of commissioner's unit within 90 days of initial production. And finally, provides for a liquidated damage penalty if plat is not provided. The next slide deals with the lessee's reporting issue. Here is OMR staff needs information and data about lease operations to evaluate producing areas on leases. Under the present lease form, information has to be requested from lessee. Under the new lease form, lessee is obligated to furnish information to OMR on first and all subsequent wells drilled. Also includes the data consistent with the rights under revised statute 30:209.1. And finally, it provides for a liquidated damage penalty to ensure compliance. The next slide deals with plugging and abandoning. The issue is the lease premises needs to be restored after operations have ceased. Under the present lease form, lessee is obligated to plug and abandon all wells on the premises no longer necessary for operations or production. Lessee is obligated to remove all structures and facilities from the premises, and work must be performed within 1 year of lease termination. But under the new lease form, bond provided by lessee can be used by lessor to perform site restoration, and cleanup must be performed within 1 year from termination of lease, but obligation does not terminate at that time. And it also requires lessee to submit a list of plugged and abandoned wells on the lease. And it also provides for liquidated penalties to ensure compliance. The next slide deals with force majeure and suspending events. The issue here is because of developing court decisions defining force majeure, it needs to be treated separately and differently from suspending events. Under the present lease form, it does not differentiate between force majeure and suspending events. Under the new lease form, it splits the force majeure and the suspending events into separate sections. It improves verification of both conditions, and it limits lease maintenance due to either condition to 6 months. Burdening of proof, a suspending event lies solely with the lessee. The next slide deals with environmental language, and the issue here is environmental requirements in current lease form do not meet current industry standards. environmental language is brief and outdated in the present lease form. But under the new lease form, it requires site cleanup to be in compliance with all state and federal laws and regulations. It also specifies responsibility and cleanup requirements. And finally, it requires reasonable precautions to be taken to prevent fire or explosion.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question in that regard? Mr. Fontenot, what is meant by, well, I'm not sure what is meant by specified responsibility and cleanup of requirements. And when I look at that on the slide and I go back to paragraph 14, my question then is, what is meant by the last two sentences, if you will, on the 14A? And does that, you know, is that an additional burden on industry? And how much, if so? You follow what I'm saying?
I'm looking at it now. If I could have help from the panel.
Actually, the Attorney General's office is going to answer that question.
All right, tell me again where you're looking.
I'm wanting to know what is meant by specified responsibilities and cleanup requirements, and how far does that burden, how much of an additional burden is that placing on industry, and how far does that go in terms of an environmental study? And, you know, and I don't know that much about environmental studies, but I do know that there is an environmental study, and then there's an environmental study that there's, you know, more significant studies. I don't know what
I can tell you the
specified responsibility and cleanup requirements really means.
I can tell you what the purpose of this was and what the practical effect of it is. The purpose of this was to bring up to date the lease to comply with state and federal law. So basically, we have laws out there that industry is required to follow regardless. They just haven't been noted in the leases in the past. And so what these things do is simply bring those things into the lease just so that it's abundantly clear from the outset what the what the legal requirements are. We can't dip below those.
Then why would we have to have a 14B at all, if that's the case? And I'm, what I'm asking is this an additional burden on industry?
No, it's not an additional
burden. And I'm most significantly concerned about the fact about whether or not private industry leases have this requirement and or our neighboring states, whether or not they have this in there.
Private industry leases do have these requirements because they are legal requirements. The ones cited in paragraph B are federal requirements related to remediation of environmental harms. So this is not an additional burden on industry that exists already in the law.
And I guess I limited to, I said B, but I guess I should look further than that because 15 also makes reference to environmental.
And I can tell you what 15 does is basically incorporates into this lease in some kind of coherent manner so that the lessee is not searching a laundry list of environmental statutes, if you will, what the legal obligations are in Louisiana. So it incorporates Department of Environmental Quality, Office of Conservation, and those types of requirements into the lease so that they are in one place and clear, but they are the legal requirements.
So that you don't think this is an overreach, if you will, in regard to the environmental issue?
And they'd be required to do this whether we're in the lease or not. So, no, I don't. I mean, it's not this board's place to deal with whether it's an overreach. I mean, that's a legislative question. We're just incorporating it into the lease to make sure that everybody has clear notice of it.
So I guess we're not going to have any objection from industry in regards to this.
Well, they may not like it, but I don't think that there's much that we can do about it as a board because it is the legal threshold.
I understand your answer.
Thank you.
The next slide deals with general comprehensive liability insurance. The issue is the state currently has no insurance to cover damage claims arising from operations on the leased premises. Under the present lease form, no insurance is required. Under the new lease form, comprehensive liability insurance coverage is required, no less than $1 million per occurrence and $5 million aggregate. Excuse me. Coverage includes, but is not limited to, personal injury, accidental death, property loss, and environmental impairment or pollution. The new lease form also provides that lessee must provide certificate proof of insurance annually. And lessee must notify lessor no less than 30 days prior to cancellation and must provide substitute. And finally, the provision is derived from a provision in the current operating agreement form. And the second to last slide that we have to present to you today deals with title disputes. The issue is a proper procedure for satisfying royalty payment obligations in the event of a title dispute is presently unclear. Under the present lease form, it allows board to reduce royalties payable directly to OMR. Under the new lease form, lease form articulates the existing board policy, and board may allow the entire amount of royalties payable to be deposited in interest-bearing accounts or registry of the court of paying OMR. Finally, the audit access rights slide. The issue deals with lessor's audit rights were not fully and clearly defined in the current lease form. In the present lease form, audit rights were not explained in detail. However, under the new lease form, it clarifies the state's rights to examine, audit, or inspect records necessary to protect the state's interest, and lessee is obligated to use generally accepted accounting principles. And finally, the provision is also similar to a provision in the current operating agreement form. I would say that we have a meeting scheduled with industry to go over these things, and then we are to meet back next month to present what concerns or comments that industry may have made. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Fenton, that's correct. On June 25th, we have a meeting scheduled for interested parties, and I would just like to announce, too, if you have not, if you plan to attend and have not let us know that you're planning to attend, please let us know. As of this time, we only have two people who are planning to attend the meeting on the 25th, and we need to have adequate seating and handouts and everything, so if you're planning to attend, please, please let us know. After the meeting on June 25th, on July 9th, we will present to the board any comments that have been received at the meeting on June 25th, as well as written comments. Also, I'd like to encourage anyone who's interested to please submit written comments. As of this time, we have received no written comments from the public, And for agreements to be considered, they need to be in writing so that we do not misinterpret anything that you intend to say, so that it's in your words. And on July 15th, at the next board meeting, we'll present the comments to the board. July 15th is the deadline for submission of written comments. And then at the August board meeting, the staff will once again present the revised draft to the board.
As chairman, I need to afford the public an opportunity to comment on the process that we're undergoing here today. If there's anyone from the public who would like to comment, please come forward to one of the mics and address the board, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask staff to address my concerns and have something for us before our next meeting. Thank you.
Hearing no request from the public, public comment period is closed. Thank you.
All right, so
Chair, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn the Legal and Title Controversy Committee.
Second. Thank you very much. Any objection? Hear none. Or adjourn.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in the regular session of the regular meeting if we haven't confused you or dazed you yet. Do you have a motion to go back in the regular session?
Second, Mr. Sanders.
Cadeau, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries back in regular session. I believe the only items we have to handle is 6 and 7 are announcements.
The total for today's lease sale was $1,138,394.10, which brings the total for the fiscal year to a little over $18.3 million. As I stated, please notify us if you're planning to come to the interested party meeting on June 25th and submit your written comments. You can mail them to us or send them to our email address. It's omr@la.gov. And finally, the department's annual oil and gas conference is going to be held in Baton Rouge this year at the Baton Rouge Capital Center, and it's going to be on August 27th and 28th. We'll have agendas available in the near future.
All right. Any further business or announcements? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Klein. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.